of me, the book of Samuel, actually 1 Samuel. Chapter 9. So awesome how God works and moves. I begin the first of the week asking God the direction on what to preach. I just don't want to preach a message. I want to preach what God has for you. And I was praying Monday and nothing. I'm praying Tuesday and nothing. And praying Wednesday and nothing. And then Wednesday afternoon, I always, if I come up with a thought, I'll jot it down on my calendar at home. And I had a particular message that I felt like was for a specific time and a specific day, you know. I was kind of contemplating on what the direction God would have me to go. That little few words that I had scratched on my tablet, I'm not going to tell you it was God till I'll let you decide for yourself, but I felt like he said, it's time now. And I thought, oh, well, okay, I'd really like to save it for some other time that's special. And I said, well, you know, sometimes when he speaks to your heart and you start reading the scripture, then you'll know whether it is or whether it isn't. If you've never prepared for a message, you probably really don't know what I'm talking about. But nevertheless, I began to contemplate that, Brother Larry, and I thought, I don't even know where the scripture is. I can't even remember what book it's in. I can't remember nothing. I just know a few words about it. And I literally had my Bible partial of the way open. I just reached down, grabbed a hold of a bunch of pages, and flipped them. And it went right to the scripture that I had underlined with this message. I said, yes, Lord, I believe this is a time. I believe this is a time. That many pages in the Bible, and I flipped right to where I had it underlined. Yeah, I believe it's time. And I believe that there's somebody or somebodies that's here today that needs this message, and I want to just encourage you. To those that are not able to be here, whether it's sickness or they're just lazy staying at home, call them this week and tell them, hey, you need to hear that message. Go online, listen to the message, because it's for you. I've had a few people tell me that I should stay at home this morning and relaxed. I am actively trying to deliver a baby, and that's no joke. And when I do, I'm going to name it either Rocky or Stony, one or the other. Till you had one you don't know. And I can tell you, I would have liked to have stayed in bed this morning, but I had this message burning on my heart that you need to hear. And nobody else could deliver it because Jesus delivered it to me. And if he give it to me Sunday morning, he'll help me deliver it. Or if he give it to me for this Sunday morning, he'll help me deliver it. So, we're not going to go to 1 Samuel right now. But we're going to go to Revelations chapter 1. He's going to preach on Revelations. I don't even understand Revelation. He didn't tell us to understand it. He told us to read it. And then he will reveal it to us. Amen. Revelations chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1. Let you stand for the reading of God's word. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before the throne of God, or before his throne, which is God's throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness. And the first begotten of the dead, and the prince and the kings of this earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Please do not look over that quickly and just dismiss it. He is the first begotten of the prince, the kings of the earth, and unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 6. This is where we are. And he hath made us kings and priests unto God. And his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Do you believe that he has made you through his precious blood, that you are kings and priests unto God? Very, very important that you remember that as we go through this message. Behold, verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. He said, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. The title of this message this morning is Don't Settle for Nothing Less Than the Best. Father God, we love you. We appreciate you. Pray that you will touch our hearts and our lives this morning, that we may receive what you have for us. We thank you, O God, for the Holy Spirit that is among us today. Let us be sensitive, O Lord, and hear what the Spirit is speaking to our hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen and amen. Now, I want to emphasize, and I'll tell you why I emphasize this a little bit later, and he hath made us kings and priests unto God our Father. It is through him that through his dominion and power forever and ever, he has made us kings and priests. It started a long time ago in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verse number 6. He said, and ye shall be made kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Speaking of the children of Israel, as he brings them up and he makes them priests and he causes them to be a holy nation set apart before to worship God. That's our duty. That's our privilege, that we are to worship God. In 1 Peter, I'm just telling you and reiterating to you that you are not a nobody. You are a somebody. Ordained, set apart, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and you are kings and priests. God the Father through his Son Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, and said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Don't go to sleep on me now. We're just getting started and you're going to want to hear this. You are a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into a marvelous light, which in times past were not a people. In times past were not a people, talking to the Gentiles, but are now the people of God. Praise his holy name. Which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh my, I told you was privileged to be here today. You're a child of the King, bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is what's going to happen if we'll stay true and faithful to God. If you just humdrum through life and your relationship with God and you sleep through the services and you don't pay any attention and you depend on somebody else to get you where you're going, you might as well just figure on you're going to sleep through the rapture because you ain't going to hear it. God's people are busy people. God's people are excited people. Regardless of the circumstances around us, because we are a child of God, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and we now have obtained mercy. And this is what's going to happen in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song. That's talking about the redeemed that's bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That the angels in heaven cannot imagine what we've experienced, even though the Word of God declares to us that they desire to look into what we have experienced. And they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book
and opened the seals thereof, and and thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and every tongue and every people and every nation, and has made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. That's speaking of the millennial, and we shall reign upon the earth. I figured some of you would be shouting by now. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 6, blessed and holy. Just setting the stage, okay? We're getting there. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Are you convinced yet that you are kings and priests under God's mighty hand? Are you convinced? Well, I hope before this message is over, I want to convince you, young and old alike, that these kids going to school, that they've accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They are kings and priests, and the devil can't touch them. He's got to keep his filthy, stinking hands off of them. There's a point to this scriptures that I read to you, all of them, and I want to drive that point home. And there is a moral to this story as God has given us, and God has promoted you to this level on and through his merits. I want you to understand that. Okay? God has promoted you through the level of and through his merits of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's by his merits that we are kings and priests. And know for certain that this title was not because of anything that you have done, nor by any merit of your personal status. It's not to down you, but to just help you realize that we are kings and priests because and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And listen. And because of the willingness of Jesus Christ shedding his blood, saying, Father, not my will, but thy will be done, he give you the opportunity to be kings and priests. Now on the other side of the coin, our archenemy, Satan himself and all of his imps, puts us down daily. He wants to discredit your relationship with our Creator. Is anybody listening to me today? Ask God. God, help me to grab hold of this and get it in my spirit. Satan and all of his imps puts us down daily. He wants to discredit your relationship with our Creator. He wants to put you down. Bring up your past to where you can't see your future. Did you hear me? He wants to keep your past in front of you so much that you cannot see your future that you have in Christ. Child of God, Satan can't stand the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. And he cannot and will not recognize his power and wants to convince you that it has nothing to do with you, nor can you receive anything from it. I just come by to tell you today that Christ came to promote you into his family. Did you hear me? I said Christ come to promote you into his family and into his bloodline. And while Satan wants you to believe you're not worthy, there is no power, and wants you to convince you that there's no power in the blood of Jesus Christ, and that you deserve to stay a slave to sin instead of wearing a crown of a king and a royal robe of a priest. That's Satan's job. Now the reality, church, is this. So many settle for second best. We settle for second best. We come to church and we try to enter in to worship and praise, and we have all these thoughts in our minds of what we've got to do after a while, or what we didn't get done, or I remember I needed to say something to Brother Tom Foolery, and that's what the devil's putting through your mind, and we totally miss what God has for us. Totally. We have a tendency, we have learned that, well, we're not good enough for this, and we're not good enough for that, and God really don't love us. That's what the devil wants you to believe, but you've been made kings and priests of God. But we have gotten to a place that we believe that lie, that we're really not worth what God has for us. But that's a lie straight from the pits of hell. He tries to tell us we don't deserve God's love. He tries to tell us that we just be happy with God's leftovers. We're okay with the substitutes of God's blessing. Or maybe if we just get a tinge from heaven when we come to church, we feel a lot better when we've gone home. Because we've gotten too many problems for God to really be interested in us and our situation. Church, what I'm trying to say today in simplicity is that when God says you're kings and priests, you're okay with just being a stepchild. When God says that He will bless you, we're okay with seeing someone else get blessed. When God wants to promote you into leadership, you're okay to settle for second seat. But can I tell you today, we are also like that in the natural world. Hey, this is going to preach, okay? Just stay with me. It's going to preach. We're kind of like that in the world around about us because we have learned that those things, but what the devil's lying to us, that we're not good enough. We're only second class citizens and we don't really deserve to be kings and priests of God. But I'm here to tell you the devil's a liar. I just want to ask you today, and some is going to try your best in your mind to justify these things, but how many would rather have a steak rather than a bologna sandwich? Some of you are saying right now, well, I like bologna. Well, if you want to be full of bologna, go right ahead, but I'd rather have a steak. We try to justify those things. How many would like to have a real, real chocolate milkshake from Barnett's, or would you rather have one of those protein shakes that's been in a little carton at Walmart for the last 6 months? Some of you would love to have a Harley, but you had to settle for a moped. Some of you could have flown first class, but you settled for economy class. Some of you could have had cashews, almonds, and pistachios, but you settled for peanuts. See, when I go to Walmart and I go to the peanut aisle, forget the peanuts. I want those pistachios, almonds, and cashews. Okay? We could have settled for the front seat, but we chose the back seat. Whoa. Did I point to the back seat? We could have had the front seat. Most of the time, we would settle for one of Walmart's four-day-old cinnamon rolls when we could have really had one of Sister Snow's or Sister Cammy's. Hello? We could have settled. You ask my wife and my boys, they could settle for a flame broiled real beef burger from Burger King, but they'd a lot rather had Dad's on the charcoal grill at home. Y'all following where I'm getting from? We could have settled for two or three day old bakery or a freezer coconut pie, but I'd a lot rather have Sister Teresa Sturgeon's coconut pie. Hello? Now, if you men really, you're struggling with what I'm trying to get to you, there is two kinds of flowers. There's real ones and there's artificial ones. And so the next time your anniversary comes up, if you're really still wondering what I'm talking about, you don't send your wife real long-stem roses. Just go to Walmart and pick her out some of them plastic roses and send it to her. And then the next morning, if you're able to see, you'll go back and get some real roses. What I'm trying to say is we settle for second best when we don't have to. I would like to get all of you by your shoulders and shake you and say you're kings and priests with God. You are a king's kid. You're not second-rate citizen. You don't deserve plastic roses. God's got a place for you in His kingdom and at His table. God's got a place for you. And for the next few minutes, I want to enter into a story that God spoke to my heart several months ago, and I want to show you that God has chosen you. He has established your future. Some of you ain't got a hold of this yet. It almost makes me want to go back and start all over. Didn't get no amens on that one either. But He has established your future. He has made a claim on your life. He has written your name as you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. He has written your name in the book of life. And He has promised He would make you to sit in heavenly places with Him. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, as it begins, and Paul begins to tell the church at Ephesus here, "It hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus." How many can remember the times that His Spirit combined? We just got lost in the presence of God. He allowed us to sit in heavenly places with Him. That in the ages to come He might shew the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus into good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. As we look at this story that I mentioned, the scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 9 earlier, as we look at this story, we see God's love being exemplified through His mercy and His grace. That He Himself, and through His Son Jesus Christ, we know how the benefits, and we can understand and we can experience the benefits of wearing the title of kings and priests. Now understand that I'm going back to the Old Testament, but God is not confined to the Old Testament. Nor is He confined to the New Testament, but He is Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. And though I refer back to the Old Testament, there is a message in here for you that will touch your heart and touch your life and help you to realize that God does not want you to settle for second best. 1 Samuel chapter 9, beginning at verse 15. And as I begin this story, you all have read it. Perhaps know it very well that God had everything planned out for Saul, even though he didn't know it. And his daddy had to lose some donkeys before he could get to the position. Is anybody hearing me? Saul's daddy had to lose some donkeys to get Saul to a place he needed to be. There's things in your life you need to lose to get to where God wants you to be. We don't like to lose stuff, do we? But God promised that He would restore. Just remember, Saul's daddy had to lose something to get him where he needed to be. And as Saul was traveling and looking to try to find his daddy's donkey, back in those days, donkeys was expensive commodities. They had several uses and they needed them desperately. So it wasn't just that, you know, today we will get us another donkey. But he had to have those donkeys. It wasn't that easy just to go buy one. He had to have those. Now the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed to Samuel. Isn't that amazing how God goes before us? And it's so amazing, and I'm totally convinced that even though God spoke to me about this message 6 or 8 months ago, He knew that who you was today that needed this message to bring you up and to help you to realize that you are kings and priests in God's army and in God's family. About this time tomorrow, God told Samuel, I'm going to send you a man from the land of the Benjamin, anoint him as leader over my people Israel, and he will deliver my people from the hand of the Philistine. And I have looked upon my people, for their cry has reached me. And when Samuel caught sight of Saul, the Lord said, this is the man I spoke to you about, and he will govern my people. And Saul approached Samuel in the gateway and asked, would you please tell me where the seer's house is? In this particular day, in this particular time, they looked to the seer, which is the same as the prophet. His other name was a prophet. So they looked to the seer, they looked to the prophet, and Saul was going to the prophet to ask him, where can I find my daddy's donkeys? I am the seer, Samuel said. I got stuff going through my head that I want to relate to you. And man, this is powerful. I got to say it right now before I forget. Saul was not supposed to be in the place he was fixing to be ordained as. You are not supposed to be in the place where God has ordained you. Let me explain. You was out of grace. You was a Gentile. But because of God's goodness through His Son Jesus Christ, He brought you in to anoint you as kings and priests. And He has ordained you to be where you're supposed to be, that you might win those that are most unpredictable to be won. God has set you in a place. God told Samuel that I'm going to anoint Saul out of the house of Benjamin, and he will deliver the people. He will set them free. He will destroy the enemy, the Philistines. God, listen, church, God has anointed you as kings and priests of God. You didn't necessarily or wasn't supposed to be there, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ, he has fit you into his plan. He has grafted you into his vine. You're a kings and priests with God. God has brought you to a place to bring deliverance to those that are bound, to those that are in prison, to those that are sick, to bring deliverance. God has anointed you as kings and priests to fulfill his ordained faith. I hope by the mercy and grace of God you can see what God is doing here today. We are living in strategic times, but God has not left us alone. God has not went on vacation. God, Corona doesn't bother him at all. Amen. He has ordained you for a purpose and a plan. Yes. Yes, I have made up my mind, and I've said it something like this before, but I have made up my mind, in this crazy world that we're living in, when you do business with people, they're already on their last nerve, and they're already about ready to bite your head off. I have made up my mind. I'm going to be friendly to them. I'm going to show them. I don't care how ugly and nasty, and I'll probably face it tomorrow since I said that. I don't care how ugly and nasty they are. I'm going to make sure, to the best of my ability, that they smile before I leave. I've got the greatest thing in the whole wide world that people need. And it's my responsibility to share it. Amen. Did y'all get a hold of that about Saul? He wasn't even supposed to be there. But God put him in a place at a particular time to deliver the children of Israel. Now, we could go back and tell the disastrous end of Saul, but that wasn't God's fault. That wasn't Samuel's fault. That was his own choosing. The same with us. God has ordained you. If we mess up, that's our own choosing. Man. God, speak to our hearts. So Saul approached Samuel. Hey, by the way, it gets better. I ain't even got to the best part yet. And when Samuel caught sight of Saul, and the Lord said to him, "This man I spoke to you about will govern my people." And Saul approached Samuel in the gateway and asked, "Would you tell me where the seer's house is?" Verse 19, "I am the seer," Samuel replied. "Go ahead of me to the high place, to the place where they worship, place where he lived, place that they honor God, the house of God. Go to that place, and for today you are to eat with me." Today you're going to eat with me. "And in the morning I will let you go, and I will tell you all that is in mine heart. As for the donkeys you lost 3 days ago, don't worry about them. They have been found. And to whom is all the desire of Israel turned, if not to you and your family? God ordained Saul." And today he's saying, "Saul, don't worry about the donkeys. Those things that you have lost, I've got taken care of. I'm here to tell you today, church, those things that you felt like you have lost, those things that you felt like you ain't ever going to make a difference in, those things that you felt like your dreams and all of those things that you had high hopes in, don't worry about those things. God's got everything under control. Hear me, church. God's got it all under control. Don't worry about your donkeys that you got lost. What you got to worry about today is that there's people that's banking on you. People that need you." That's what he said in the last part of that verse. "We're going to turn our attention, Saul, because the children of Israel and your family need you today." So today I'm telling you, church, you being kings and priests of God, God has a plan for you, and there's people that need you. Suck it up. Grow up. Be a man and woman of God. Allow God to put His stamp of approval upon you as kings and priests, and go out in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaim God's goodness and win as many people as you can to God, because we're fixing to get out of here. Saul answered, but this is where we're at. This is what I was talking about a while ago. We are satisfied with an old stinking hamburger from Burger King when you could have had one grilled at home, made special. And this is exactly what, this is what Saul was saying. But I'm just a Benjamite. I'm just from a house of Benjamin. I'm from the smallest tribe. Who in the world would have anything to do with me? Who would listen to me? I'm from the smallest tribe. And is not my clan the least of all the clans of the tribe of Judah? I mean, he broke it down, didn't he? He broke it down. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. And the part of the tribe, it's the least, it's the smallest. And the part of the tribe we're in is worse than that. Y'all follow me? I mean, he just keeps cutting his feet out from under him. His legs out from under him. And is not my clan the least of the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why are you saying such things to me? Lord, why would you have anything to do with me? Lord, why would you speak to my heart? Lord, how could you use me? How in the world could you use me? I can't even speak clearly. I'm so bashful. I get embarrassed when I see my own self in the mirror. I mean, I can't say anything. God's saying, I've got a plan for you. Yes. You're kings and priests. Yes. It doesn't matter what tribe you're from. When God says you're a king and a priest, you're a king and a priest. Amen. You is what you is, okay? And he said, "Samuel, why are you saying these things to me?" And Samuel brought Saul and his servant into the hall and into the hall, or into the place where they was going to eat, okay, the banqueting hall. Brought them into the dining room. Are y'all ready for this? Y'all better get ready. Brought him in to the dining hall, seated him among the head of those that, who were invited, about 30 of those people in number. And God, Samuel took Saul and put him at the head of the table. Doesn't the Bible tell you that He'll make you the head, not the tail? Did I not read all the scriptures and tell you what the Bible says, that He made you kings and priests in God? Hey, just want you to know, He's made you kings and priests of God. He'll make you the head and not the tail. He'll make you the lender and not the borrower. That's the God that we serve. He will pursue His blessings upon you.
Yes.
I still ain't got to the best part. Saul was seated at the head of the table among the 30 that was already there. Samuel said to the cook, "Bring me the piece of meat I give you and the one that I told you to lay aside. If you will study the scriptures, you'll find when they sacrificed a calf or a lamb, there was specific parts that was given to the guest, and there was parts that was saved for the king and the priest." We are settling for the gizzard and the liver when God has promised you the leg and the thigh. That was the portion to the king and the priest, was the leg and the thigh. I never really ever thought of it, but most of you know, I've been a meat cutter ever since I was 15 years old. Well, part of that time I wasn't. Part of the time I was just a cleanup boy. But most of the time, if people wanted any lamb, they wanted the leg of the lamb. Are you listening to me? They wanted the leg of lamb. Never really did understand that. To me, all that lamb stunk. Okay? If you never butchered one, you don't know. But I'm just telling you, most of the time, people wanted the leg of lamb. Do you know what was ordained for the priests and for the kings? It was the leg. You are settling for so much less when God has set aside the best part. I said, God has set you apart and has given you the best part. Samuel said to the cook, "Those that are set aside for royalty, I want you to bring the Saul, because there's a transformation taking place. I'm telling you today, church, that God has ordained this church to be the spokesman for this city and around about us. And God has made you kings and priests, and you have been satisfied with eating the leftovers when God's got a leg for you that is only ordained for the kings and the priests. Don't you dare settle for second best." So the cook took up the leg with what was on it and set in front of Saul. Samuel said, "Here is what we have kept for you. Christ Jesus sitting at the throne of God on the right hand of the throne of the Father of God is saying, this is what I have set aside for you. And you've been satisfied with bologna and peanut butter and crackers, but I've got more for you than you can ever imagine. I've got your name written down, and there's a plan beside your name. You've been satisfied with all the other stuff, but I've got a leg for you. You have been anointed kings and priests and God, and I've got a plan for you. And I want you to see it through." Cook took the leg and set it in front of Saul. And Samuel said, "Here is what has been kept for you. Eat, because it was set aside for you for this occasion. We've come to the kingdom for just such a time as this." You're not here by mistake. You haven't wandered down the road today and just all of a sudden come to the house of God. God knew where you were last night and knew where you was going today. And God has ordained and He has set aside for you a meal fit for a king. For this occasion, I have invited guests. Saul dined with Samuel that day. And after they come down from the high place in the town, Samuel talked with Saul on the roof of his house. They rose about daybreak, and Samuel called to Saul on the roof, get ready. I just want to tell you today, you better get ready. And I will send you on your way. And when Saul got ready, he and Samuel went outside together. And as they were going down to the edge of town, Samuel said to Saul, "Tell the servant to go on ahead of us." And the servant did so, but you stay, Samuel said, "But Saul, you stay here a while so that I may give you the message of God." We get in so big a hurry that we miss the message of God, but God has a special will for you. He's got a special message for you, and He wants you to fulfill your mandate and your calling. His anointing is real. You are kings and priests with God. He loves you and He cares for you. God has a message for you. Chris, would you care to come to the piano, please? Listen, God has saved the best for His children. I want to tell you, as kings and priests, do not begrudge God's blessings. Sow those blessings where others will be blessed so that God can bless you more. John 4:32 said, "But He said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of." It's time you realize the gizzard ain't for you. You deserve a leg. Proverbs 10:22 said, "The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow." Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace. And not evil, but to give you a future and a hope." If you believe that, would you stand with me today? If you believe anything that I've tried to tell you today, I'd like for you to just begin to concentrate on the things of God and say, "God, I'm sick and tired of eating gizzards when you've got a lamb laid for me. I'm sick and tired of listening to the devil's lies and being satisfied with second best. I'm sick and tired of going through life thinking I was a nobody when God said I'm a somebody." Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there ain't no better time than right now to make your election calling sure. If you're lost and you're undone, we have a Savior who will make you whole. If you're here today and you beat yourself up, you don't feel like God loves you, if you don't feel like God has cares about you, you feel like that you're just a second-rate citizen, I want you to recognize today that God doesn't lie. He's bigger than any devil that has hatched out of the pits of hell. He is your King, He is your Lord, and He has made you kings and priests. And by His mercy, He has established it. If you can get a hold of that today, would you just lift your hands toward heaven and say, "Father God, I accept. I accept what you give me. Lord, I accept. It's not a point whether I'm worthy or not. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ that you have given me mercy. And I accept your blessings. I accept the title that you have given me. I accept you, Almighty God. Lord, I love you and I appreciate you. I thank you, God. Who would dare to be still long enough this morning just to give God praise and glory for what He's done for you, where He's brought you from, what He has anointed you with, and what He has for you? Who would dare take the time to give God praise and glory and praise Him today? Who would dare say, "Lord, I'm going to take time to praise. I'm going to take time to worship you. I thank you that I'm a child of God. I thank you that I'm kings and priests. Lord, I love you and I appreciate you, Jesus. Lord, I give you praise. I give you glory. Anybody else, you just feel like you need to come and kneel at an altar of prayer and give God praise and give God thanks. Who would dare take the time to say, "I'm going to give God my best. I'm going to give God my all. He has given me mercy and